Hey, if you didn't get a rock this morning, I'm going to ask that you put up your hand because it's important that everyone has one. And so the ushers are going to come. They've got rocks. Ushers are going to come. You've got rocks. And while I'm speaking, okay, come on forward and distribute these rocks for those that don't have them. It's a part of our response time. I'm going to speak in a limited way today, but we're going to have an extended response that includes communion and then a memorial of a very important aspect of this theme that we've been on, Step In. It's based on the story of Israel coming to the Promised Land and the work that God was doing to show them his blessing. And so as we come to this Thanksgiving Day weekend, we want to bring it to a close around this theme of remembering. So the response word today for you is remember. To remember is a great gift. And it's something that we celebrate as we have the ability to think back and to remember events and people and circumstances many years back that have occurred to us. And on the other hand, forgetting is something that is a great loss to us. I often in recent years begin to think that my brain is becoming like the Bermuda Triangle. Information goes in and it's never seen again at all. It's just gone. And we all experience forgetfulness, and we can chuckle about it. But in its acute and severe form, it is a tremendous loss. There is dementia that many people experience as they get older. There's an illness that we refer to as Alzheimer's disease that is, it's tragic in terms of its loss for the person and for the family. You see, it's not just about forgetting things, it's about forgetting people. And when someone forgets their spouse, or when someone forgets their children, or friends, or their extended family, there is a loss and a grief that goes on in the heart of that person and of that family. It's important that we remember. We must take care not to forget who God is and who we are as his redeemed people. Moses issued a final warning to Israel just before they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land in Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. He said, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, I think, forcefully when he said, the devil doesn't fill us with a hatred towards God, but with forgetfulness of God. Again, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. There are all kinds of people who have forgotten God. The grandparents stopped remembering. The children have never, or the parents have forgotten. And the children have never heard what God has done in Christ. This is a generational remembering and forgetting that is embedded in the story of the Canadian culture. We have forgotten God. We can never stop remembering. If we forget, we and our children are doomed. The one thing that I want you to do today in response to this short teaching is to remember, and that's where we're going to finish. Remember what God has delivered you from. This is the amazing freedom that God has won for you in Christ. We're going to remember that by participating in communion. Jesus said, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in what? Remembrance. Remember. Do this in remembrance of me. And Paul adds, as often as you take it often, remember. It's a memorial of Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. So remember what God has delivered you from. In the Israel story, of course, that was from slavery in Egypt. Remember. Remember what God has taken you through. This is the remarkable story of what God has done for you. And we are going to take stones today to remember. What has God taken us through? And then lastly, briefly, we will look at, remember what God is taking you to, the promised land, the incredible promise of what God has given you. Jesus said to us, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's taking us. It's a promise, remember. Now, on your notes today, just as I'm speaking in the next few minutes, those three areas are on there. Take out a pen and just jot, because your memory is what's important here. Think back and remember. What have you been delivered from? The amazing freedom God has given you. And as specific as you can be, okay? And then I just want you to kind of note that with a word, just one word. That's all you're going to have room for. Secondly, remember what God has taken you through. What's the remarkable story of what God has done for you? And just remember those things briefly, and then a word. And then lastly, remember what God is taking you to. What's the incredible promise that God has given to you? And again, remember those things and come to a word. And by the way, at the bottom of those notes, many of you asked for that prayer that I asked you to pray every day last week. It's there. It was there last week, and I failed to mention it. And take it with you. And I continue to encourage you to pray that prayer that we talked about in our invitation, in our prayer, that God would do it again among us. So let me read for you and then make brief comment on this story, which is found in Joshua chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of Israel, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Now, the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. And the people hurried over. And as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle, in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. And about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And the priest came up out of the Jordan carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. And on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out of Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. And the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when it dried up before you, before us until we had crossed over. He did this, listen, he did this so the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Be careful that you do not forget. God. If we forget, we and our children are doomed. Christianity is only one generation away from forgetting God. Remember. So this morning, I want to recall for you, I want you to recall what God has delivered you from. Remember the freedom that God has won for you in Christ. What has he done? The story notes in verse 19 that this happened at a very specific time, on the 10th day of the first month. Now, that's significant in noting that historically because, folks, that is 40 years to the day from when Israel left Egypt. Remember what God's delivered you from, folks. Remember. Don't forget. Gilgal was this little place that they established there. And the meaning of Gilgal is means the reproach has been rolled away. The people of God had been delivered from all of these hundreds of years of slavery and then 40 years of spiritual testing in their forgetfulness of what God had done. And now all of that was done, and God was taking them to the promise. This promised land, this land of new opportunity, this land of spiritual blessing, this land of being established as a people and a nation again. And the days of selfish refusal to respond to God under Moses were gone, and the complaining was ended, and the hopeless wandering in the wilderness was behind them. They were now a people, and God was their God. And there was a powerful new sense of purpose and determination to know what God had for them. Remember, don't forget. So, can you remember what God has delivered you from? We need to have a determination to live in the freedom that God has won for us in Christ, because we will forget. You know, we come to faith in Christ, and the early part of the journey generally is a great zeal and passion and growing, and I can't believe what God has done for me. And then we forget. Every one of us. Our inclination is towards becoming colder, not warmer, toward God. Less committed, not more committed to God. And the call constantly was the call that I put out last week. Like, we have to be reminded. We need to pray again. God, warm my heart up again. Help me to remember what you've done. Work in my life. Paul said to the Galatians, I'm astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace Christ the grace of Christ, and now turning to a different gospel. He said, who seduced you to this kind of forgetting? You've had all this grace work in your life, and you forget. We're going to come to the Lord's table today, and this is not just kind of this flippant, okay, yeah, here we go again, communion. Remember, I've said before, every time you sit down at a meal, why do you pray? Dear God, thank you for this food. Amen. No! Remember! Call your children to remember. This is what God has done for us. Three times a day. Remember. Don't forget. Because if we forget, we're doomed. Can you remember those monumental occasions which stand out as times when God has changed your direction? Or when he's given you a new hope, a new sense of purpose, a time when you had to act by faith, or you decided you were really going to be all in and abandon yourself totally to trusting God. Do you remember those times? Recall them. Tell the story. What has God delivered you from? Well, quickly, remember what God's taken you through. Remember the remarkable story of what God's done for you. That really, Thanksgiving is really not a day in the year. I mean, it is in our culture, but it is a way of life for us who follow Christ. Remember, what has God taken you through? Don't forget that stuff. Tell the story of what God has done. Remind yourself what has gone on in your life. And so there are stones in your hand, I hope. If they're not, there are more up here. There's some big ones here if you need them. We're going to take them and write words on them that help us to remember, and we're going to take them and put them at the cross right over here. And then those are going to be moved, and they're going to sit on that elevated little part by the steps for a period of time for the rest of this fall, because we will remember. What has God done? What has He taken us through? Some of that remembering has to do with what it is that God has done in places. What are the places that come to mind? I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was at a period of time where I was just struggling. I was a young pastor. I was in Calgary. And I had said, Lord, unless I experience You in a greater way, I can't do this ministry thing anymore. And so there were things going on. I was searching, you know, in prayer. We began to pray as a church, but that just seemed to stir up more problems than it did offer more blessing. And I went to a conference in Edmonton in the fall. This is probably about 30 years ago now. And I just so kind of discouraged and yet so like, oh, God, where? And Lord met me. I won't tell you the whole story, but Lord met me in such a powerful way at this conference. And it was just an intense couple of two or three days. And I just had to take a break. It was just too much. I had wept too much. I had received too much. And so I left one of the sessions and just went to a nearby park. And I remember it was sort of sitting up in a hill in Edmonton. And I heard a voice coming from across the park. Hello! I'm like, I don't know you. And he kept saying hello. And I realized kind of it was a man. He looked to me to be probably a homeless person. And so he was shouting at me. And he came up and we had this conversation. And then he said this to me. You must have seen God, because your eyes are so pure. And while I contextualize that, given what might have even been mental illness, I don't know. But for me, I remember the place, because I knew that it was a kind of confirmation for me that He was right. God had done something transformative in my life. Remember what God has taken you through. It might be people. This last year, a woman came into my office, my other office, which was over on the campus of Columbia Bible College. She knocked on the door and just walked in, and I went, I think I know you. And she had to remind me, her name was Evelyn, that 27 years ago I had married her and her husband in Calgary. And I went, oh, yeah, and I kind of, you know, I'm remembering. And she went on to tell me what had taken place in their life. She was there because one of her daughters was registering to become a part of Columbia, the student body this fall. And one of her daughters had already been through Columbia, had a career. And she said, you know, our oldest son, his name is Stephen, and we named him after you. And I went, really? Why? And she said, well, you've had such an amazing spiritual impact on those early years of our married life. Had no idea. What a blessing. Remember people. Sometimes we need to just remember circumstances. I've got something here that sits on the shelves of my office, either here or at home in my office. It is a petrified piece of wood. I think it's cedar. It's got a lot of holes in it. It's got a lot of character to it, but it's as hard as a rock. And about 4 years ago, Karen and I were at Ocean Shores, Washington for a couple of days, and walking on the ocean, I saw this unusual sitting on the beach, kind of getting smashed by the waves, and I picked it up. What is it? It's a piece of petrified wood. And as I took it, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, you know what, your life, this is like your life, Steve. It's got a lot of holes in it. It's been beat up. It's been through a lot, but it's hard. I have made you now, out of this experience, out of all the things you've been through, I've made you like this piece of wood. And I want you to know that you can stand in the storm. I want you to know that you have, there's a new calling for you. Your calling is to give it away to younger leaders, not to be the hero and to do all the things, but I want you to engage leaders. And they sometimes take it personally and they get upset about things, but I want you to be like this petrified piece of wood. Just hard, just stay in there. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm picking that up and I'm going to put it on my shelf so I can remember. Remember what God's taken you through. And then finally, remember what God's taking you to. What's the call? What's the promise? There have been times when I have, as I'm journaling most days, and it just feels like the Lord says, Steve, this is a promise to you. And I write it down. And I have to remember, there was one particularly when I was going through this really difficult time of vertigo earlier in 2018. And one morning, the Lord just kind of downloaded a whole bunch of promises. And I have to go back, and it's an old journal by now, and I have to get a different book, and I have to go, and I have to read through it and pray through it again to remember, what did God promise me? What's he taking me to? Do not forget God. Do not forget who you are as a redeemed people. If you forget, we're doomed. This morning, I want now to engage you in this time of response. If you will take those rocks, and there are Sharpies, they're at the back near where the ushers are, they're pointing to them. There are Sharpies up here, there are other rocks. And just take a minute, we're gonna take an extended time, you don't have to hurry here. We've got about 15, 20 minutes. And we want you to do several things. We want you to come to the communion tables. There are stations here at the front, at the back, upstairs. It's all available for you there. And we got people who will serve, and they can come right now. So during this time of worship, we want you to remember what you've been delivered from and celebrate that. But we'd like you also to just take note of the things that God has taken you through and perhaps the things that God's taking you to. And the ways that you would note that, just put it on a rock and don't put your name on it, just leave them here. We want to build a monument. The idea of a monument is to remember. That's what it's there for. So I want to invite you to do that. So take your time. You might feel like, okay, I don't know which way I'm going. You can come and have communion and sit down if you like, or come directly over here or go to the back, whichever is suitable for you. There'll be people milling about. But let's enter into this time of response. Moses warned the people, do not forget God. Joshua crossing from that point of being in the wilderness to the promised land said, I want you to pick up the stones. Build a monument. Joshua himself built a monument, a personal place of worship in the middle of the Jordan before the waters came rushing back in. And he said, in the years to come, when people say, what is that pile of stones? Tell them what God has delivered you from. Tell them what God has taken you through. Tell them where God has taken you to. Remember. Father, I pray that as we enter into this time of response, that you will speak to us by your Spirit. Encourage us on this Thanksgiving weekend. And so we give our lives to you and thank you for, again, this opportunity to remember, this time of building a monument. And so we give this time to you. Holy Spirit, work among us, I pray. Do it among us again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to respond. Communion and with the stones of remembrance.